Hi, it's Michael Sanoff with Michael Sanoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. In this next series of audio interviews, you're going to see a demonstration of how I use audio interviews to sell a product. This client was a gentleman who's a manufacturer of a high-end electric motorized skateboard. The first interview is with him and about his company and reasons why someone should consider his skateboard over his competition. This collection of interviews is time saver because it allows Dave to pre-qualify his prospects. Instead of spending time on the phone answering the same questions over and over again, all he has to do is send the prospect to these audio interviews where they can download them into their iPod or into their phone and play them on their time. By offering interviews in a downloadable format in transcript form, you're able to close more sales, you're able to qualify better, and you're able to grow your business without spending time on the phone. I hope this gives you a good example of how I use audio interviews to promote a product or service. Now let's get going.
To get adrenaline-induced acceleration and speed, power, torque, and range, you have to have battery capacity. There's no way around it. You can buy a smaller board with a less powerful motor with less battery capacity, but it won't have the acceleration, it won't have the torque, it won't have the top speed, and it won't have the range. And all of these different models that you see people offering, these 100 watts, 200 watts, 300 watts, all that crap they're offering, nobody buys that stuff. If they do, they end up selling it for nothing because it's slow, it's gutless, it's unexciting, and an adult doesn't want to ride it. And there's nothing more boring than a slow electric skateboard. In the beginning, I thought this product would be for children, and I was looking at lower-powered electric skateboards, and it didn't take long for me to realize that the people that are buying these boards are grown-ups, and they love these. Just give them something that they don't have. To get on one of these boards and have an absolutely smooth, quiet ride anywhere you want, just stand there and cruise, it's a fantastic feeling, and it doesn't go away. I mean, our guys don't put these boards in closets. They ride all the time. The guys come home from work, they want to get out of the house from the wife or the kids, and they go out for a half hour, 45 minutes. So I get guys whose boards don't work in a panic. They're almost like heroin addicts. They've got to get their board working. You don't understand. I need it. I don't know of anything that you can buy that will give you the enjoyment, and for a long time.
Now, are you the founder of the company?
I am. It's my business.
And take me back to where this whole first idea generated.
4 years ago, I was in between looking for something to do. My 8-year-old son wanted an electric skateboard for Christmas, and there was really no such thing except for this $1,300 X-Skate.
How did your son find out about it?
He didn't know there was anything. He's very into that. It's electric cars, electric scooters. He wanted an electric skateboard, and it seemed like a very simple thing, and there's really nothing out there. I'm not a skateboarder. I'm 54 years old. I've ridden probably over 2,000 miles on these boards. These are more of an electric vehicle. They're bigger than a skateboard. They have much bigger tires than a regular skateboard. They're much more stable than a regular skateboard. And it doesn't take much to be able to ride one of these. They're user-friendly. They are not hard to ride. You don't have to push. So therefore, both feet are on the board full-time. Your feet never leave the deck. And it's a completely different thing. It's more of an electric vehicle than a skateboard. Truly it is.
Talk to me about the boards. I saw on your website you've got very well-known Madrid.
Our decks now come from Sector 9 and Watson Laminate.
And who is Sector 9 within the skateboarding industry?
By far the biggest skateboard manufacturer in the world. They are bigger than everybody else put together. But we also have our own boards made by Watson Laminates, who is the biggest next to Sector 9 deck manufacturer in the country, and they produce boards for Sector 9 as well as Arbor and just about everybody else.
So what's important about a deck?
The difference is it's a longboard deck in that it's 40 inches or longer and a little bit wider than your average deck. And the reason for that is it's a more stable platform, and you don't need to put your foot down and push, so you're on the deck all the time.
Okay, and tell me the concave where it flares up on either side. What's the benefit of having a concave?
When you carve, you have the lip that catches your foot. Instead of pointing downward, if you have the concave coming up, as you lean, it holds your foot in place and allows you to balance and stay on the board better.
All right. Now, do your boards have a curve like a kicktail?
Yeah, we have different types. Most of them have kicktails, or pintails don't. But everything but the pintail has a kicktail.
In blunt nose, is there an advantage having a blunt nose?
It's just rider preference. A blunter nose gives you a wider platform for your front foot, so you have more stability.
You're working with Goodyear for your actual wheels?
We are. Well, we have standard polyurethane wheels that come standard on the board, but then we have a optional wheel which is made by Goodyear for us. It's a hard rubber wheel instead of a polyurethane, which is a hard plastic wheel. And the Goodyear wheels are vibration absorbing and they're quiet. So basically, you have no noise and you have no vibration. And we sold 5,000 of these in the last year, mostly word of mouth. Everybody wants these wheels. Regular polyurethane wheels, they make a ton of noise as you go down the street, and they vibrate. You feel everything. It's transferred right through the wheel, right through your feet. The Goodyear, being that it's a hard rubber, it's shock-absorbing, and it's absolutely quiet, absolutely smooth. It's like riding on glass. Just unbelievable. Goodyear tires are much more forgiving on rough and irregular surface because they are shock absorbing and forgiving. They just smooth out the ride considerably and make it much more enjoyable. You might have roads where you won't even ride your regular board because it's just too much vibration and noise. Where the Goodyears, you'll think nothing of it. By using the Goodyears, it gives you more options as far as riding surfaces and a much, much higher quality of ride.
So your philosophy, you absolutely want the best riding experience for your customers. You went out and sourced a better wheel than what was out there in the skateboard industry.
Absolutely.
Is this rubber softer than a street board, you know, a trick board?
Softness or hardness is measured in durometric rating. And the durometer rating is about the same, except being that one is a hard plastic and one is a rubber, one is absorbing and one is not. So it's not so much hardness as it is material.
How long will these wheels last?
They'll last a long time, obviously depending on how often you ride and the style of riding. You can rotate them also.
By rotating, can you make them last longer?
You can. They will rotate. The drive gear comes out and you can swap them around. A lot of guys do that.
Absolutely.
Everybody with other boards wants these wheels, but we only make them for ours.
Okay. Do they come in different colors?
No, just black.
And they're in one size?
One size.
Is it one of the largest wheels out?
We're using 4-inch wheels, and the 4-inch wheels is about the biggest non-pneumatic wheel offered.
What is non-pneumatic?
Non-airfield.
And what's the advantage of having a 4-inch wheel compared to a 3-inch wheel?
When you go over rocks or cracks, it will go over easier instead of just stopping.
What is a truck?
Well, a skateboard truck is the bottom of the board, the part that the deck attaches to, the top, and then it has an axle with the wheels attached to on the bottom. And it makes the board turn. Without a truck, if your wheels or axles were solid to the bottom of the board, you could not turn it. The truck gives it the flexibility to move sideways for carving and turning. The torsion trucks that we use give you high-speed stability, and they give you low-speed carving flexibility. And they're also hard enough, whereas they prevent high-speed wobble.
And what is a wobble?
Some of the newer riders with really soft bushings may experience a high-speed wobble where the boards gyrate a little from side to side. It happens with regular skateboards, too, at high speeds. And these trucks and wheels are much larger than a regular skateboard, and they're designed to keep the board stable at high speeds. The trick is to be able to get it to carve, but still maintain a soft enough flexibility for carving. And that's the key, and that's what we have.
These aren't standard skateboard trucks, are they?
No, they're bigger than standard skateboard trucks. They're a torsion truck.
Torsion, what does that mean?
Well, that means that the truck resistance is based on the durometric rigidity of the torsion bumper, which is a rubber unit in the truck that twists. Basically, a pins from the top and pins from the bottom going into a rubber membrane, and the twisting creates torsional resistance where you get the tension on the truck from making it loose or making it stiff. So in other words, the higher the durometric value of the bushing, the stiffer the board will be. The lower the durometric value, the softer the board will feel.
If you're going down a hill on one of your boards, can it go into a coast mode?
No, and you don't want that, and I'll tell you why. Power controller's work is, as you release the trigger, the board will slow down, and it will actually lock itself into an RPM. If you release the trigger, it feels like it's coasting. It's what we call a simulated coast. But the problem going down a hill, and this is the problem with the wireless boards, is when you hit those brakes, they go in as the electronics heat up. The board releases the brakes, and all of a sudden you're going down a hill, and you find that your board is going in and out of brakes. It's pretty bad. You really don't want to go down a hill braking. You want to go down a hill controlled, with controlled power, which is what our board does. Our boards are way superior to anything else in the market as far as going down hills. It's a much, much safer device, and it's just reliable.
What is regenerative braking?
Regenerative braking is when the electric motor turns into a generator when the brakes are applied and actually starts producing electricity, which goes back into the batteries.
And what's the benefit of that?
Well, the benefit is the motor can be used to slow the board down, so you don't need mechanical braking, and at the same time, you providing a charge for the batteries when you do apply the brakes. It makes it for one trigger to enable to do everything. So you don't have to have a separate braking mechanism for mechanical braking. So one trigger controls forward motion and braking.
Where does the actual braking occur on the board?
The board has one drive wheel. The electric motor acts, obviously, as a motor to propel the board, but when you pull the trigger forward, the motor actually turns into a DC generator and slows the board down. And also charges the batteries.
And which wheel is the drive wheel?
It's the rear left.
Tell me the rider experience one could experience going down a hill with one of these controllers.
On a wireless?
Yeah, on a cheap wireless.
Another thing you got to realize, the wireless controller is Chinese, and it's a complicated system. You have a gun, which is a transmitter. Then you have a receiver PC board that receives the signal from the gun. And then you have all of that that's relayed to the main PC board, which is very complicated in Chinese. And when you combine that on a skateboard with no suspension and hard wheels, it's no wonder they don't last.
Give me some examples of what real-life things can cause signal interference on a wireless board.
Power lines, electric doors, areas where there's intense radio frequencies.
I read somewhere that on the wireless board your body somehow acts as the antenna. Is that true?
No, and the reason that you can dispute that fact is you can stand next to the board with the gun and pull the trigger, it will still work.
Let's talk about the motor. Underneath the actual deck, you have attached, what do you call it?
The motor.
A motor?
Yeah.
An electronic motor?
It has a 24-volt direct current motor. It's a 400-plus-watt motor, but we've had it tested, and it peaks out at 800 watts.
Is it possible that the imports can get motors rated favorably for them? Can that be deceiving for consumers who are interested in power boards?
Well, you know, anybody can say anything they want. Our motor has a peak wattage of 800 watts at peak power, but we advertise it as a 400-watt motor. People can take those numbers. They can use different values to say what their motors are. But we know for a fact that competition 600-watt motor is slower and does not have as much torque and is not nearly as durable as our motor. Smaller motor, smaller magnets, smaller wiring, slower on top speed. It's slower in acceleration, and it doesn't have the torque.
So put that into human terms. Can one of your boards tote around a 250-pound guy?
Oh, easy.
No problem?
Oh, more than that. He might not be able to go up a steep hill, but he'll be able to fly on the flats. We got guys 300-plus pounds riding these. I mean, people tow people with these.
What about those X-Gate boards?
Well, the X-Gate board station, they're using what they call a 600-watt motor, but it's half the size of ours. And I don't know how they get away with rating it at 600 watts. We have the motors here. We've tested them. And X-Gate and all these other guys, they're getting what the Chinese are offering them, whatever they can buy cheap. And it's a really bad motor that doesn't last. Wires burn up. It doesn't have the power, doesn't have the torque, and it's just a very chintzy motor. It's got about a quarter of the magnets our motor has in it. Our motors are basically a car starter motor. They're a very heavy-duty motor, and they last. You know, big magnets, heavy casings, and we've been using these same motors for 4 years because it's the best motor that we've found.
So what is the actual weight on these boards?
52 pounds, so that's battery weight. We use four motorcycle batteries wired in series and in parallel, and we're getting 24 volts at 15 amps, which gives us, with our motor, an unbelievable range. No board has ever had the range of our power board. We're getting 12 to 15 miles. Honest 12 to 15 miles. Pretty incredible.
Now, are you offering the wireless remote and the wire remote?
We're not offering wireless because there's nothing out there that's any good. We keep getting stuff from China. We test it. It's just pathetic.
So yours does have a wire coming out of the back?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, have you had any feedback where that creates a problem?
No. Actually, you know, people think, oh, my God, you know, how can you ride this with a cable? Well, once they try it and they realize that the cable is not even in the way. What it gives you in terms of precision, throttle control, reliability, and quietness. You see, the wireless boards all make a really, really loud humming noise. And, man, drives people nuts. I mean, you can hear it coming a block away.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and the guys get our boards, you know, after they've experienced the wireless, they go, it doesn't make any noise. And especially with the Goodyears, absolutely quiet.
Why does it hum like that?
It's a little frequency transmission of the electronics.
And because you have a direct cable, you don't have that?
No, we don't have it. The only noise our board makes per the motor.
Are these things street legal?
No, they're not street legal. What they've done is they've categorized gas-powered skateboards and electric-powered skateboards, and they've grouped them together, and they've called them motorized skateboards. But let me mention this to you. We've got thousands of them running around here. Police come up here all the time and buy them, and not an issue. I mean, if you ride around Santa Monica for an hour, you'll see at least one guy riding a Neglide around town. They're all over. Louis Finkel started X-Gate 10 years ago, and he was truly a revolutionary at the time. And back then, it was new. You know, movie stars bought the board. It was $1,300. Now, this is going back 10 years ago. It was only back then. But even then, it was not reliable. There's a lot of problems with it. We get a lot of the old X-Gates through here, and we convert them to our own system now. So X-Skate was sold to a guy named Dave Kaplan, and he went over to China and knocked himself off with the Chinese stuff, brought in a bunch of it. It was absolute garbage, ran the company into the ground, and finally sold it to a new group of guys. And they didn't do anything for about a year and a half, and I guess they figured, well, there's nothing we really can do except get stuff out of China. So they brought their first container in for Christmas, and it's been a disaster. Everybody else comes and goes. You know, they get in this business, and they realize it's just a nightmare. And I went a different route, man. I just keep going and making it better and better and better. And to give you an idea, you can buy a comparable Chinese board out of China for $150. My board, for just the components I use, cost me almost twice that. And that's not including my labor. That's just components. That's the difference.
Can you burn out the electronics by riding the board too hard?
Not our electronics. You cannot. I mean, for instance, if you were to go up a steep, steep hill, and it would be so steep that the board wouldn't move, and you trying to go up it, our electronics have a thermal switch inside that will shut the controller down after it reaches a temperature of 110 degrees, and then it'll station off till it cools down, usually about a minute.
So I'm on a competitor's board.
It'll burn out.
It'll burn out, and then what do you have to do?
Then you have to ship it back and get it fixed.
So if I order a board and the board comes to me, the first thing I need to do is charge it up?
No, recharge it
down. How would I know when the charge is going to be down? Does it progressively slow down, or does it just all of a sudden?
No, you'll notice about 45 minutes into your ride, or depending on how you ride it, all of a sudden you don't quite have the acceleration that you had. You still have top speed. You still have a couple miles or more to ride it.
Some of your competitors have low battery level indicators. Do you think that's overkill?
They don't work, and I'll tell you why. We tested the same battery level indicator that the competition boards use, and we found that they were not at all accurate. You use 4 12-volt batteries. You cannot, with one battery gauge, accurately measure the whole thing. It doesn't work that way. Battery gauges are not reliable, especially the Chinese ones. Our boards have such a long range that you still have about 3 miles when you notice the power being reduced. You know by the length of time you've been riding, it doesn't take long to get the feel of your board, and that feel is much more accurate than any meter.
I think anyone who's used batteries over the years has experienced that instructions say you got to wait till your battery is totally empty before you can charge it up again to preserve the life of the battery. Is that the case with your boards?
Just the opposite. That doesn't pertain to sealed lead-acid batteries. Sealed lead-acid batteries do not have a memory. Basically, 4 things to remember about the batteries. Don't run them down dead, number one. Number two, after you ride, recharge them as soon as possible. Number three, if you don't ride the board for a couple of weeks, throw the charger on overnight. And above all, the batteries want to stay charged. And if you follow those rules, you should get at least a year out of your batteries.
Is there a certain number of charges I should be able to get out of these batteries before they need to be replaced?
We say 300, which is probably pretty accurate. But we use a really high-quality battery. We use batteries from BB Battery Company, renowned for being one of the highest-quality sealed lead-acid batteries available. And all of the top electric vehicle dealers carry usually only BB batteries because of the reputation and the quality. They're much more expensive than comparable batteries that don't have that recognizable quality name. But we found, especially in our application, that we need the best quality battery we can find. And if one battery goes bad, it will bring down the other 3 batteries. So you've got to start off with top-notch batteries, or one bad battery can ruin a whole pack.
Where do you see the future of battery technology?
We've been testing it. It's the LiPo4 batteries. That's the future. The new style is called a lithium iron oxide battery, as opposed to the cobalt lithium batteries they've been using. This new technology is less expensive, safer, and has a longer life.
Are these batteries all made in China?
They're made in Taiwan right now, all of them. None of them are made here. Not even the A123 battery system batteries that are being built for Chevy. Even those cells are made in Taiwan. Don't mistake Taiwanese products for Chinese products. The Taiwan plants are now producing stuff in China because of the cheaper labor, but they're using Taiwanese management.
There's another competitor who's got a wider board. Aside from you getting a new battery and a wider one, can you turn the weight into a positive rather than a negative?
Let me put it this way. To get adrenaline-induced acceleration and speed, power, torque, and range, you have to have battery capacity. There's no way around it. You can buy a smaller board with a less powerful motor with less battery capacity, but it won't have the acceleration, it won't have the torque, it won't have the top speed, and it won't have the range. And it's a very boring ride. There is no way to get all of that without battery capacity. And the boards are heavy at 52 pounds, and half of that weight is the battery. Unless you go to lithium, which is 5 times as expensive, you cannot reduce the weight. We've experimented with nickel metal hydride batteries. They're less expensive than lithium, but they don't produce the amps on demand. as the silicate acid batteries do. They fall flat. They just don't work when you need the speed, the torque, and the power. We have two options. First option is we have available a new battery with new battery chemistry. It's called a LiPo4 battery. It's the safest and most durable lithium battery ever introduced. It's the same battery chemistry they'll be using on the new Chevy Bolt. It gives our boards a 27-mile range. The battery weight is reduced from 25 pounds to 12 pounds, and the battery should last 3 years. We can provide you with this battery when you purchase your board if you're so inclined. The other option that we have is we have a lighter weight board called the DC36. It's a shorter board at 36 inches. It only has two batteries instead of four. It still has the same power, acceleration, and torque. It only gets half of the range. But there are people that don't need the longer range. They can get by with a 6-7 mile range, and they're looking more for convenience, for subways, for buses, for lockers at schools, things like that. And they opt for that board. Those are two options for a lighter weight.
Talk about safety. A guy who's never ridden one of these, and he's worried about going 0 to 20 in 4 seconds, and in his mind he's like, man, am I going
to
kill?
You don't have to do that. And you know what? I don't do that anymore. I'm 54 years old, man. I ride all the time, but you don't have to go balls out. You don't. You can have fun, hit the speed once in a while, but you know, you're going to go down sooner or later on one of these. And you're going to go down on a regular skateboard sooner or later. You're going to go down on roller skates sooner or later. And that's just the reality of it. So I tell my customers, it's not a matter of if you're going to go down. It's a matter of when you're going to go down. And I always tell them the same thing. Look, you're going to be on this thing after an hour, and you're going to think you've mastered it because it's very user-friendly. You're going to be zipping around, and all of a sudden you're going to be flying around at 20 miles an hour and loving it until you go down. And I say you don't have to ride fast. Realize the danger and anticipate it. So I cannot stress enough that especially if you're going to ride these at the higher speeds, you do need safety gear. You need a helmet, you need knee pads, you need elbow pads, and you need wrist and long pads.
Tell me about the guarantee.
We have a 90-day warranty on our board, but if you are a customer and you have a problem with our board and it's something that shouldn't have happened, we'll take care of you even after 90 days. We want you happy. And that's the key to this business, keeping our customers happy and letting them know that we back our product. And that's why they buy our boards. The electronics, we warranty for 1 year. And our electronics are bulletproof. They just are. There's nothing like them. So now we have a board with 90 days on the board and a year on the electronics, which used to be the weakest link. And now it's the strongest. It's really a matter of abuse. Truly it is. If you don't abuse your board, it's going to last and last and last and last and last. My board, I've been riding for 3 years. I have a classic. You know, I change controllers over as we've got better controllers. I change the battery over. Now I've got Goodyears on it. It's not a throwaway board by any means. You just change the parts, and the parts keep getting better. And every part that we've ever improved will go on the very first board that we ever sold. We take our hardest customers, and we turn them into our best customers. And that's almost a personal challenge. I take a guy that's having a problem with a board, he's just so frustrated. And by the time I get through with that guy, he is just so happy, and so happy with the way we take care of him, that he tells his friends about us. And that's what propels our growth. You know what? The fact that we offer a 1-year warranty on electronics, that tells you something right there. The fact that we build the boards in the U.S., we're the only people that do that. Look at our product. Compare it. Ride it. Test it. I tell people that if they want to know about the wireless, I said, you know what? My best advice to you is to ride one of our competitors' boards first and then ride one of ours. That's the best comparison I can give you. One ride is worth a million words. And they can't stand up to us. The competition, when you call up those guys, they say, oh, they have a cable. Cable gets in the way. That's all they can say. It's not true anyhow, but that's all they can say. We're wireless. We're the original wireless and this and that and this and that. We've got patents on this and that and that. Yeah, well, it doesn't mean anything. Anyone can come to our shop at any time during shop hours, Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, and they can try out any one of our boards with regular tires, with Goodyear tires, and they can visit our shop and see how we build the boards, check out the components we use, and ride a board for as long as they want.
So when someone calls X-Skate and they say, we were the original and we own the patent and Eagle's infringing on our patent, what do you say to that?
Well, it's not true.
What kind of patent do they have?
They have two patents. They have a patent on the wireless technology, which I know the guy that actually got the patent for him, Jason Solis, and he never should have gotten that.
It's a utility patent?
Then they have a patent on the torsion truck. They claim that they're inventors of the torsion truck. The torsion truck was invented by a guy named Alan Krohn in 1956 who took out the original patent. All X-Skate's done is they put an internal stop on the existing patent and claim that they're the originators.
So they have a truck with a different component in it, and someone else may have a truck without that component.
We sell the same truck because it's a good truck.
So separate the motor and the electronics, which is the real important stuff.
Yeah.
that you're getting in Europe.
Exactly. The stuff that we use works in a lab. Not only the components that we use are way beyond what the Chinese people are using, but the assembly that we do here is completely different than the way the Chinese do it.
All right, let's talk about the importance of assembly.
Everything has to be checked before it's put on the board, and we do that. And then, of course, we're using quality components within the board. It's like we put 1,500-degree fiberglass shielding over the motor wires just in case they do melt, so that they won't melt together and stop the motor dead. You know, a lot of little things that nobody thinks about that we do that makes our boards last. And every component on that board is something that we have changed and evolved, except for the motors. Everything else is pretty new. We use wire from Belden. We use Amolix connectors. We use 3M components. All the components are important. It just takes one flaw for the thing not to work. We found everything that we get out of China doesn't stand up to the quality U.S. products that are comparable. The wire is different. The connectors are different. The nuts used on the wheels, the lock nuts are completely different, not of the same quality.
What could happen if you're on maybe a competitor's board and the motor freezes up? How does that actually happen?
What happens is, under extreme use, motor wires heat up, the negative and the positive coming out of the motor. Most of these Chinese boards, the wires, they're actually encased in a piece of plastic together, and they melt together, and that stops the motor right now, freezes it up. Some of those Chinese boards have that problem. We get around it by separating the wires, putting thicker wires on, first of all, much heavier gauge wire, and then we insulate them with a fiberglass insulation that's been tested up to 1,500 degrees. So first of all, the wires don't melt. We've never had a wire melt with the thicker wire we use, but even if they do, they won't melt together because they're separated by fiberglass insulation that would have to reach 1,500 degrees on each wire before it would melt. But of course, the reaction with the electric skateboard is you fly off the board if the motor locks up. So we do that here with this material. We do a lot of stuff like that here.
Take me through some of your quality standards or testings or procedures.
We start with the batteries. We get them delivered from BB Battery, and we assemble the battery packs here. We weld up the wires ourselves, check the voltage. We take an off-the-shelf motor, and we take it apart, and we check everything on it. Check the axles for straightness. We make sure the bearings are as they're supposed to be. We check the gear, the belt, make sure everything is correct and not off. We build our guns here in-house. We do our own wire harnesses. And then our guns we make in-house. We take our potentiometers. We test each potentiometer.
What is a potentiometer?
A potentiometer is what makes the gun work. It's a trigger on a potentiometer shaft. But, I mean, all these parts, we test them here. They have to work exactly right before we build them up into the wire harnesses and put them into guns. We test all that stuff before we build it up. We test our guns 5 times through assembly. Finally, when the board is finally assembled, we put it on the bench. Every board is bench tested, and we know what to look for. We fire it up. We run it. We make sure everything is smooth, and before the powers, we can just move the drive wheels. We can tell by motor noise if there's any clicking, if there's any broken magnets, all that stuff. We know what to do. We've been doing it for 4 years. And that's what you have to do to get out a reliable electric skateboard. You really have to put out a tested product with quality components. And this is why the Chinese have failed. They're inconsistent. You get Chinese stuff, the wires come loose, the soldering quality is non-existent, everything. You wouldn't believe it. Inconsistent.
Why do you guys bother with all this testing?
Because if we don't, it won't work right.
And if it doesn't work right, what could happen to the rider?
Well, he's going to have a problem. It's not going to work right. He's not going to be happy. You have to imagine how a Chinese factory operates. Based on volume, not quality. The workers are paid by what they produce, not the quality of what they produce. And I have talked to them over and over and over about this, trying to make them understand that people are willing to pay more for a quality, reliable product. They're not interested in the cheapest product. They're interested in a product that will last. I can only explain that their thinking goes back to the communist era, where production was based on volume and performance, not quality. And they still think that way. They know they're shipping out junk electric skateboards. They know they're going to have a lot of problems. But that's just the way they do business. It's the same thing with their electric scooters. It's the same thing with all this kind of stuff that they sell with the pocket bikes, with the gas skateboards. It's cheap. They throw it together quick, and it doesn't last. You'll find young girls, young guys that are expected to do a multitude of jobs, soldering on one bench, grinding something down not far away. The workers are underpaid. A lot of times they don't get paid. They don't care about producing quality. They don't even understand the concept of high quality. They don't care about the rider. They don't ride your electric skateboards. They don't even sell these in China. They're not into them. They don't understand them. When I go over there and I take them riding, they've never ridden them before. To produce it cheap, they have to be that way. Mike, when I brought in my first 300 boards, and they were all garbage, and the problems you get with the customer, if a customer's going to spend a few hundred bucks on a product and it doesn't work, he's going to want his money back. You can't stay in business selling a product that, first of all, you can't make any money on because it doesn't work right after a short amount of time. You get chargebacks from customers. They want to return them. It's a nightmare. And nobody who has brought in the Chinese boards, be it Dave Kaplan, who was the ex-Gate owner before the current owners, or be it anybody else that you might have seen over the years, they all go away because they cannot stay in business selling Chinese electric skateboards. The only way I can stay here and be in business, especially after 4 years, is by producing a product that works, that I can back up, that when a customer has a problem, they can call up with that problem, and I can resolve that problem. And I'm not talking about having them shipped back and ship them a brand new one. It's always a simple problem that can be replaced by just a part. And that's what we've got it down to. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else has a product like that. I don't believe anybody does care like I do, or they would have done what I'm doing. Keep in mind one thing. Most of our sales, probably 90%, come from word of mouth and referral. I've been in this business for 4 years. I've tried a lot of different things. We've been on the Leno show. We've had a lot of high-profile promotion. And really, what I've seen, people that buy them tell their friends, and the guy buys one, his brother buys one, his son buys one, his father buys one, and that's what makes the product move. And we build a hell of a product. There's nothing like what we build. And there's nothing more boring than a slow electric skateboard. And all these different models that you see people offering, these 100 watts, 200 watts, 300 watts, all that crap they're offering, nobody buys that stuff. If they do, they end up selling it for nothing because it's slow, it's gutless, it's unexciting, and an adult doesn't want to ride it. And adults buy these boards. I mean, by far, 95% of our sales go to adults. I don't know of anything that you can buy that will give you the enjoyment and for a long time that this product will. And I hear that from my guys all the time. I mean,